51. A bell that doesn't ring.
Quickly!
Colette pointed down the hallway that led out of the bay. The fire is getting worse, and I don't know whether we should be more worried about running out of oxygen, or whether this whole place will collapse around us. They dashed into the main hallway, and found water swishing across the marble floor and cascading down the steps. The walls have been breached, Modo said.
Not the walls.
Griff's voice was jovial. He was in the hallway with them, but Modo saw no sign of his blood.
I let the sea in. I'm invisible, so I can't drown. The sea won't see me. But you two will drown. I love the pleasure of watching you bob and writhe and choke. Tahee!
You'll drown as easily as us.
Will not. Will not.
His voice was farther away. If he was still bleeding, it was into the water, so they couldn't track it.
Forget him,
Colette said. There must be another way out. They splashed frantically down the hall, the water up to their knees. As they dashed through the kitchen, chairs and loaves of seaweed bread floated around them. Modo led them through another hallway and up the wide stairwell carved into bedrock that took them to Icaria's National Museum. He glanced back. Behind him, down the hallway, he saw bubbling water. He heard only the shattering of glass and the groaning of metal girders. His heart beat with fear, but he also felt a momentary sadness. New Barcelona had been such a beautiful place. The Icarians had worked so hard to create it, and now the ocean was taking it back. Modo and Colette stumbled into the large oval hall, and Modo remembered Monturiel saying it was the highest point in New Barcelona. A rowboat hung above them, alongside a model of a trireme and the miniature Adelaida. Modo went to it and opened the hatch.
Well, it's not a working model. Not that we could even fit our heads in there.
Colette pointed to the other side of the great hall. Hanging from the ceiling was the diving bell.
Do you think it actually works?
He asked as they rushed over. The wood was thick, strengthened and waterproofed by India rubber. All around the circumference of its base, long tethers hung to the floor, a 10-pound weight at the end of each one.
Monturiel told us it was a functioning model, Colette said. But it wouldn't be designed for such depths.
The lights in the room flickered. Modo looked down the steps and along the hallway that led to New Barcelona. It was nearly full of water that now bubbled up into the museum. Already the exhibits were floating. A fleet of toy boats drifted by.
We don't have much time. It's the diving bell or death.
But how do we get it into the ocean?
Modo looked up at the large porthole in the center of the oval ceiling.
Through there.
But that glass is too thick to break.
We won't have to break it. When the water reaches the ceiling, the pressure will be equal. It's the pressure of the ocean that is holding it in place. I bet I'll be able to push it open.
We're going to bet our lives on it.
We'll have to.
The water was up to their hips now, and Modo felt himself being driven off his feet by the currents. The bell was already floating, the weights holding its bottom edge in the water, trapping a pocket of air. They stole under its lip and were suddenly in the dark. There was enough room for both of them and more, the bell being at least 6 feet across. Already his feet couldn't touch the floor, and Modo had to tread water to stay with the rising bell. He felt around above him and discovered several handles at the top.
"Grab hold!"
he shouted.
"There! Got one!"
Colette shouted back.
"How much oxygen is in here?"
Before he could guess, Modo heard clicking above them as the bell butted up against the roof.
"I'm going to see what I can do."
He dove under the edge of the bell, kicking, amazed that a few of the lights of New Barcelona were still working. The museum was now full of water, and they were directly below the large porthole. Modo slammed the edge with his fist, the action forcing him down. He kicked his way back and hit it again, and the glass moved. The top of the bell was knocking up against the porthole. It needed to float higher, faster. The glass began lifting away from the building. Modo swam back under the bell.
Colette?
She didn't answer. His eyes were slow to adjust to the dark.
Colette?
A barking cough.
I'd rather be back on the surface,
Griff said, landing a blow right on the bridge of Modo's nose. It knocked him under the water. He sank enough to find Colette tangled on the tethers below, her eyes wide and her mouth gaping.
He kicked his way to her, yanked at the ropes, and tugged her up into the bell. They gasped for air, splashing all about, and swinging their fists and yelling. Twice they hit each other, but they couldn't find Griff. He heard the bell bang hard against the glass and felt it rising.
"Quick, grab the handles!"
he yelled. She did so, and all of a sudden Modo felt the pressure on his chest and legs. He unhooked several of the tethers, letting the weights fall away. The bell gained speed. Modo imagined that they looked like a jellyfish, their legs and the remaining tethers dangling as they rose. Something grabbed his hand and slipped away, then latched onto his shirt. Then Griff's voice bubbled nearby.
"I can't hold on. The tethers are wrapped around my legs. The weights are pulling me down. Modo, help, I—"
Modo hesitated. Help him? He thought of Tharpa and all the hours of training and strategy. "Unless you have complete control of your enemy, do not release him. A dead enemy cannot strike back." This was a battlefield, and Griff would murder both Modo and Colette in a heartbeat.
"Is Griff still here?"
Colette shouted.
"Yes, but he's drowning. The weights are pulling him down."
"Good."
A hand grasped at Modo's belt. He thought of kicking Griff away, but didn't. Face to face, fist to fist, he believed he could kill an opponent. But he couldn't do it like this. What would Mrs. Finchley think? He couldn't leave anyone, even an enemy, to die. Even though he nearly lost his grip, Modo grabbed for Griff with one hand. He caught only a fistful of water. He reached down for the arms that were now around his legs. Briefly, he felt fingers, a hand in his, then it slipped away. He took a deep breath and stuck his head under the water. The lights of New Barcelona were already far below them. He glimpsed an odd sinking shape, perhaps 30 feet below them, caught in the tethers. It was yellow, twisting, writhing, and expelling bubbles. It soon stopped moving as the bell shot upward.